Because you can handle the truth.
Second hour. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. BJ Barden is my name, and we're here in the second hour today on the Saturday, 29th of September, 2018. And I should give out the phone number, I've forgotten to do that. 800-313-9443, the call-in number if you have anything to add with what we're saying. 800-313-9443. But this hour, I just wanted to read out, been neglecting to do it for several weeks, several very good articles by Paul Craig Roberts, but by God, does he sum up very well what is going on around us. He's absolutely outstanding, no doubt about it. But a lead off of this one, he says, is Hungary the last remaining European country? And he's talking about Viktor Orban, who is an outstanding leader who stood up to the European Union and closed our borders and is not taking any immigrants on the swarm that are coming in. And those who did have been ejected out of the country. And the BBC's regular hate figure they love to interview, but he doesn't give many interviews, is Viktor Orban, O-R-B-A-N. Anyway, Paul Craig Roberts is saying here, disobedient Hungary from the Soviet to the European Union. Regime change, Budapest, by Diane Johnson. CNN recently discovered a paradox. How was it possible, they asked, that in 1989, Viktor Orban, at the time a Western acclaimed liberal opposition leader, was calling for Soviet troops to leave Hungary, and now that he is prime minister, he's cozying up to Vladimir Putin. Well, that's an ignorant statement. That was the Soviet Union who were objecting. We're now talking about Russia, reformed, very much reformed Russia. For the same reason, dummy, Orban wanted his country to be independent then, and he wants it to be independent now. Correct. In 1989, Hungary was a satellite of the Soviet Union. Whatever Hungarians wanted, they had to follow directives from Moscow and adhere to Soviet communist ideology. Well, they went from the frying pan to the fire, joining the European Union. That's what the Poles are finding out now. Today, Hungary is ordered to follow directives from Brussels and adhere to EU ideology, a.k.a. our common values. But what exactly are those common values? Not so very long ago, the West, that is, both America and Europe, claimed devotion to Christian values. These values were evoked in Western condemnation of the Soviet Union. That is out these days. Indeed, one of the reasons why Viktor Orban is considered a threat to our European values is reference to a Hungarian conception of the Christian character of Europe, the role of nations and cultures, the revival of Christianity in Hungary, as in Russia, is regarded as to the West deeply suspect. And Hungary is very much genuinely a Christian country. So it is understood Christianity is no longer a Western value. What has taken place that should be obvious today. Our common values essentially mean democracy and free elections. Guess again, Orban was recently re-elected by a landslide, leading EU liberal Guy Verhofstadt. That's a vile piece of crap in the European Union. Former Belgian Prime Minister Guy Verhofstadt called this an electoral mandate to roll back democracy in Hungary. Since elections can roll back democracy, they cannot be essence of our common values. That's such a great escape word, common values. People can vote wrong. That is called populism, and it's a bad thing. So then, in the European Union, you have to keep voting after you get it right on their terms. The real functional common values of the European Union are spelled out in its treaties. The four freedoms, not freedoms of speech, since many member states have laws against hate speech, which can cover a lot of ground since its meaning is open to wide interpretation. No, the obligatory four freedoms of the EU are freedoms free governments of free movement of goods, services, persons, and capital throughout the Union. The free movement of labor sounded like the Russian labor, the Soviet Union labor camps, just like the free movement of labor. Open borders, that is the essence of the European Union, the dogma of the free market. Excuse me. The problem with of open borders doctrine is that it doesn't know where to stop, or it doesn't stop anywhere. When Angela Merkel announced that hundreds of thousands of refugees were welcome in Germany, the announcement was interpreted as an open invitation by immigrants of all sorts who began to stream into Europe. This unilateral German decision automatically applied to the whole of the EU, with its lack of internal borders. Given German clout, open borders became the essential European common value and welcoming immigrants, etc., etc. I'll just stop there. This week, this 2 days ago, Angela Merkel stood with the Turkish leader, what's his name? It's here on one of the reports, opening the biggest mosque in Germany. Germany's biggest mosque in Cologne was Erdogan. opened this week, and Angela Merkel was there jumping up and down, delighted that it was happening. All right, and that was in Germany this week. But anyway, we're going to this article. Very contrasting ideological and practical considerations contribute to the idealization of open borders, to name a few. Economic liberals maintain that because Europe is aging, it needs young immigrants workers to pay for the pensions of retired workers. Well, the new Eastern Europeans have lots of young people. There's no problem there. And there's 800,000 Poles, for instance, in Britain. And we've had 11 million people come into Britain, in a tiny piece of territory. And the population is now 70 million. And the health service and the education service is creaking and breaking at the seams. But more directly, this article goes on to say certain entrepreneurs favor mass immigration because growing competition in the labor market brings down wages. Many artistically inclined people consider ethnic diversity to be more creative and fun. Well, it's European in Europe, not Middle Easterns, who can't adapt to European life. That is the problem. Certain antichrists or Trotskyite sects believe that SECTS believe that uprooted immigrants are the agent of the revolution that the Western proletariat failed to produce. Many Europeans accept that the idea that nation states are the cause of war, including that every way of destroying them is welcome. That's appalling. International financial investors naturally want to remove all obstacles to their investment and thus promote open borders as the future. Well, there's no open borders in the large tracts of Europe now. Both in Italy and Czechoslovakia, the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Poland, they have closed their borders effectively. So it's kind of a form of warfare. And I've written an article for another organization there. I'll read it out here next week. There are 9 devouring crises, like so slow burning fuse wire, burning and coming to a head in Europe. 9 crises, Brexit being number one. But there are 9 crises that will possibly destroy the European Union in the next 10 years. Is that there are even a few powerful schemers who see diversity as the basis for divide and rule. Sure, by breaking solidarity into ethnic pieces, there are good people who want to help all humanity in distress. That's a platitude. But this guy's beginning to ramble in this article. He's not a great writer. But he says further down, let's be frank, they want to condemn Hungary and the Hungarians who have decided that our country will not be an immigration country. With all due respect, but if as firmly as possible, I reject the threats of the pro-immigration forces, their blackmail of Hungary and the Hungarians, all based on lies. And he's saying, I inform you respectfully that however you decide, they're quoting out, I think the foreign minister of Hungary. Yeah. However you decide, Hungary will stop illegal immigration and defend its borders against you if necessary. This was greeted with outrage. Former Belgian Prime Minister Guy Verhofstadt, who is an ignorant thug. You see him on YouTube. Look him up, Guy Verhofstadt. See the poison he spilled out. An absolute moron. currently, and like Nigel Farage, Belgium is not really a country. It's a kind of a car park for the European Union. Brussels and the rest of it, they've given their country up to the European Union. They don't have an identity. It's a non-country. And as Farage said on a quiz program he was on recently, have I got news for you? They asked him, which country would you invade? They said, it'd have to be Belgium. We'd probably be doing them a favor. He was saying, which was just a sarcastic joke. But this former Belgian Prime Minister, Guy Verhofstadt, currently president of the Alliance of Liberals and Democrats for European Group, in the European Parliament, and that's a non-parliament, has no powers to do anything. It's a joke. It's a bribing situation to bribe members from countries just to shut up and do what they're told. And an ardent European federalist, this is Verhofstadt, responded furiously that we cannot let far-right populist governments who are elected democratically drag democratic European states into the orbit of Vladimir Putin. Well, that's where they're going, because they've got a far better deal with Putin's Russia than they will with the European Union. That's what's going to happen. The Eastern Europe will slide back into, willingly, into the modern Russia as a satellite. In a tweet to the EU colleagues, Verhofstadt warned, we are in an existential battle for the survival of the European project. For Europe's sake, we need to stop them. And CNN approvingly ran an opinion piece from Verhofstadt describing Hungary as a threat to the international order. Well, CNN would of course, pick out Verhofstadt as putting out the poison that they put out. They're an absolute fit, 100% like a plug in a wall or a key in a lock, Verhofstadt and CNN. In the coming weeks and months, the international community and the United States in particular must heed our warning. And this is, who's this? An act. Hungary's government is a threat. This is Verhofstadt speaking. Hungary's government is a threat to the rules-based international order, he wrote. European governments and the U.S. have a moral obligation to intervene, Verhofstadt continued. We cannot stand aside and let populist far-right governments drag democratic European states into Vladimir Putin's or blah, blah, blah. Okay. Next comes sanctions. Political and financial costs must be attached to governments pursuing an authoritarian path and support provided to civil society organizations. Okay. Verhofstadt concluded, this is not in the interest of the peoples of America or Europe. We need to stop them now. Well, it's lucky they haven't got a European army, because it would be used as a rapid reaction force, which is their words, to put down dissent of the European Union, and they would have sent it into Catalonia as well. Watch what happens if they get a hold of their own army by taking over the arms of individual country. If we break, the European Union will be guaranteed to break up in multiple guerrilla-type wars of civil wars. A Hofstadt's appeal to America is to stop the Hungarian Prime Minister. Sounds like nothing so much as appeals to Brezhnev by hardline communists to send in the tanks and reformers into Czechoslovakia in 1968. However, this appeal for intervention was not addressed to President Trump, who is in the same doghouse as Orban among the likes of Verhofstadt, but rather the deep state forces, which the Belgian fanatic assumes are still in power in Washington. Well, they are. And it goes on to mention McCain. I have a long article here. I won't get it. It's too long today for today's program on McCain, the treacherous traitor he was. At the start of CNN's article, Verhofstadt paid tribute to the late great, the late great John McCain, a disgusting criminal, who once described Orban as a fascist in bed with Putin. That is the McCain who went around the world as head of the Republican branch of the National Endowment for Democracy, NED, encouraging and financing dissident groups to rebel against their respective governments. Now, they're the people who set up this appalling government in Ukraine, which its main allegiance is to Israel. Orban's reputation in the West as a dictator is unquestionably linked to his intense conflict with Hungarian-born financier George Soros. Yeah, but Soros better not show up in these Eastern European countries or he'll be lifted straight away. Whose Open Society Foundation financed all manner of initiatives to promote his dream of a borderless society, notably Eastern Europe. Soros's operation could be considered privatized U.S. foreign policy along the same lines as McCain, and innocently non-governmental. Yeah. One Soros initiative is the private Budapest-based Central European University, whose Director is open society advocate Michael Ignatieff. He's a Canadian. He's a vile liberal creature from Canada. Hungary recently imposed a 25% tax on money spent by non-governmental organizations on programs that directly, or indirectly aim to promote immigration, which affects all of these situations. Okay. It's a long article, goes on and on and on. But Hungary, the last stand is really Viktor Orban, but he's been newly re-elected, so they have a problem. A serious problem getting rid of him. They won't be able to, and stuff like that. And he's made this four-country alliance. I forget the name of it. It's Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Poland. They have made an alliance, and they have closed their borders. But this other article, Europe descends into tyranny. Italian journalist Maurizio Blondet notes that France has adopted the Soviet Union's method of dealing with political dissidents. Yes, well, Macron's approval rating is down to 19%. Now he is an absolute vile. one of the leaders causing Britain big problems in the Brexit negotiations. But tyranny is institutionalized in the EU, which has no regard for the opinions of the peoples whose governments signed away their liberties by submerging the identities of countries into a tyrannical European institution. Marine Le Pen opposed the decision of the French government to terminate the existence of France as a sovereign state by making France a mere province in a multinational state. You know, Macron was saying recently that France doesn't have a culture. That's an outrageous, ignorant thing to say. But again, he's a creature of the Rothschilds. He's a total shill. But why the French voted for him now? We say to people in RBN, the French are perverse. They really are perverse. Go up there to Quebec and you'll see what they're like. Certainly readers already know that the prosecutor's office of Nantes has ordered this in France. Oh yes, that Marine Le Pen, secretary of the resemblance National Front, NFN, and parliamentary to the Assembly be subjected to psychiatric examination. They're going after Le Pen now, saying she's mentally ill. This is in the context of an indictment for the dissemination of violent messages on the Internet. There, that phrase, dissemination of violent messages on the Internet. And that could be speaking the truth and being a whistleblower. And Article 706-47-1 of the French Code of Criminal Procedure, the MP committed the crime of posting photos of atrocities committed by ISIS, Islamic terrorists, a Syrian soldier crushed by crawlers, and the body of a beheaded journalist, James Foley, etc., which was the truth. This is what ISIS did. So for telling the truth, they're going after her, trying to put her in a psychiatric hospital. We must explain why. This happened in December 2015, when France was hit by bloody attacks signed by Daesh, D-A-E-S-C-H. The journalist of the Jewish TV, BFM, Borden, dedicated the transmission to the following insinuation. The growth of the National Front is accompanied by the growth in jihadism. Oh, right. But anyway, they're going on to say that Le Pen now has been chased down by the European Union. Okay, we're going for the first break of the second hour. I need to be back in a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
From the first break to the second hour. And we're reading some articles here by Paul Craig Roberts, who usually gets things spot on. But one of the articles here is slightly history, but recent history about the proof that's been provided that the Malaysian airline MH17, which was shot down. And I remember at the time some very clever people, including Alexander, what do you call him? Paul Alexander was a military guy, said that that was shot down by the regime in Kiev, shot it down. And it was supposedly a joint Israeli operation, and that they mistook that aircraft for Putin's aircraft, which was a similar livery returning from a major world meeting. And now it's come out that that is the case. Said, of course, proof, facts, evidence are no longer of any consequence in the Western world. Transparency, false accusations can be leveled without evidence provided. And the lie becomes fact if you repeat it often enough. Russiagate is a perfect example. Feminist students in Western universities who find themselves offended by scientific fact denounce scientists for speaking the truth that contradicts feminist ideology. And the university administrations, obedient to feminist ideology, all the scientists before hearings, ideologically preparing to declare the scientists of male and misogynist. History is rewritten into fantasy because of the historical facts were offensive, in brackets, to one of the victim groups. You know, victimhood is a big part of the left or order. Identity politics has birthed a new world. History is whatever serves, whatever you say it is. It's like this transgenderism. which has 35 definitions in, I believe, in California. And it's illegal not to call people by the who they say they are, the pronoun that they're using, which is outrageous to put that in law. And there's a fantastic guy during the week, blew that out of the water, Sam Levinson, I get his name right. And he was interviewed, and it's his videos are on realvideo.com. Justice no longer exists in America, as 97% of felony convictions result from self-incrimination plea bargaining, in which the defendant, innocent or guilty, advised by his attorney that a fair trial is impossible, admits to some offense in exchange for a watered-down sentence. See Roberts and Stratton, The Tyranny of Good Intentions, which is a separate article written by Paul Craig Roberts. Decades ago, when there was still some semblance of justice in the American justice system, police had to provide sound evidence for their case in order to be for the prosecutor to take up the case. The reason was that the prosecutional budgets were limited, and the career interest of prosecutors was to get as many convictions out of their budgets as possible. Today, however, they're usually running for political office as well. That's why prosecutors are completely bent in America, and the legal system is an entrapment system. Today, however, when even the innocent prefer to admit a crime rather than run a risk of a trial, prosecutors have endless strings of convictions without having to spend days or weeks in trial. Today, prosecutors no longer have to prove a case before a juror. They only negotiate with the defendant's attorney a crime, whether committed or not. That settles the case. Consequently, the police, knowing that there is a scant chance of their evidence ever being tested in court, solve crimes by simply picking up someone and charging them. The explanations of some experts are not beholden to the corrupt system. Is that the police confronted with a robbery, or for example, look to see who in the area had previously served time for a robbery and select a former convicted robber to construct a case against him. The police, like prosecutors, can only rely on paid informers to provide evidence. Drug gangs, for example, use cooperation with the police to clear their rivals. The defendant's attorneys know that with his client's prior and a record, he will be convinced by the naive jury regardless of the absence of evidence. Right. It's convoluted language here. Unless the defendant and his attorney are double-crossed, as happened in junk bond king Michael Milken, who was the first financial conviction in America, really. Michael Milken, the plea bargain sentence is less than a trial conviction sentence. Okay. But the plea bargaining, and that in Britain it's acknowledged that 90% of burglaries are never result in a conviction. The police are just not interested. Second Amendment and the rights, da-da-da-da. And they said, I've written many times, as Paul K. Roberts, about these things and many more of the same nature. To wake up the American people, indeed any Western people other than Hungary, whose president is awake, is like trying to wake the dead. And he says, sometimes I wonder if other than my readers, the entire American public is dead, walking zombies, taking their directions from CNN, BBC, NPR, the New York Times and the Washington Post. The crowd of zombies is marching into Armageddon. Well, there's Prozac in the water supply. That proves what's going on. But they are. But, okay, he goes on to a lot of detail of this. It's the actually recorded evidence of MH17, which really deserves a separate piece done on. But I'll put that by and come back to it on another day. But he's also saying here, there is no limit to prostitute hypocrisy. And he's saying, Caitlin Johnston warned us that the Liberals were going to make a hero out of warmonger John McCain. Sure. All morning long, NPR has been conducting eulogies for warmonger McCain, who is having a state funeral both in D.C. and in Arizona. Liberal Democrat Charles Schumer wants to rename the Senate office building, renamed after Richard Russell. A real senator after McCain. Okay, a pimp for the military security complex and supporter of every terrorist group that Washington could organize. Read the Soviets and Sandinistas, the Libyans and the Syrians. Yeah, he really, McCain was just pro-war regardless, absolutely pro-war. McCain's hero status from being a POW north of Vietnam is disputed. Well, it's totally disputed. He talked. He was the only prisoner of war who put on weight in a prisoner of war camp. And he crashed an aircraft on an aircraft carrier and killed 135 sailors and maimed and hundreds of others, etc., etc. And because his father was a senior vice admiral in the Navy, he was pardoned by Nixon, right? And he was involved in every war and every subversive group in the United States. He was down there promising them aid to overthrow countries. This is what they call a war hero. NPR's other consistently repeated news story today is a UN report that top military figures in Myanmar are guilty of crimes against humanity in their treatment of Muslims in the Rakhine province. Allegedly, 700,000 Muslims have fled from Myanmar. Well, this is Aung San Suu Kyi, which has now been revealed as being quite a tyrannical dictator in the bit of power she has got. She's as bad as the army that run her country. Assume that this story is true and not just Washington orchestrated propaganda against Myanmar. Governments who chose relations with China have offended Washington. How do atrocities against Muslims in Myanmar compare with Washington's atrocities against Muslims that have destroyed in whole or part seven countries in the 21st century, displacing and sending fleeing millions of Muslims who are diversifying Europe in brackets? How do Myanmar atrocities compare to the Israeli genocide of the Palestinians? How do they compare to the Saudi genocide of the Yemenis? Why is it that NPR and the BBC can fixate on Myanmar and ignore the worst atrocities? Well, the BBC have a Middle East editor called, I think it was the name now, it'll come to me in a second. And he has been there for 25 years and he doesn't report in Israel at all. Everything else around the Middle East, but he won't report on Israel. And the Jeremy Bowen, that's his name. And I don't know how he justifies his title. And they have another one on the BBC called Lise Doucette, who goes around her blue UN helmet, and she's there to talk up the UN, and the UN can do no wrong. And it's just become appalling to carry on. I never thought I'd see the BBC deteriorate into a left-wing, loony left organization, but that's what it is today. But self-hating, this is the one I was coming to. Self-hating whites is another article he has written here. Paul Gray Roberts, last night on the main campus, he wrote this article around, yeah, it's recently. It's August 21st, actually. Last night on the main campus of the University of North Carolina, a mob of ignorant fools overflowing with hate and self-righteousness overturned the statue of a Confederate soldier as a protest against white supremacy. From the available photos, it appears that a large percentage of those protesting were protesting white supremacy are themselves white. I wonder if any of these whites have ever experienced the supremacy that they are protesting. White supremacy cannot be found in university or workplace speeches, codes where anything goes with regard to what can be said about white people, but if said about non-whites, result in sensitivity training, disciplinary action, denial of tenure, or firing at a Google, or firing as at Google, where senior male engineer was fired for stating the obvious fact that men and women have different capabilities and excel at different things. Correct. White supremacy cannot be found in preferential admission policies at universities. No white has preferred minority status. Corporations and state, local and federal governments have no quotes for whites who are the least, the last hired or the first fired. And I'll just interject another thing. I read it out last week. Come to a caller in a minute. The BBC has stated that no longer will white experts dominate be handing out historical information or new science information, that was a big mistake they made over the years, right? Okay, anyway, we have a caller, Tim in Wyoming. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Mr. Barton. Thanks for taking my call. I like listening to your show. It's the first time I've called in. I'm glad that you mentioned John McCain, and I mm-hmm. wanted to say one quick thing. I mean, you mentioned it wasn't actually the fact that he didn't crash on the ship that caused the... Well, I mean, he crashed many planes. He was a terrible pilot from all accounts.
Well, he double-fired the firing of the engine, I believe. I don't have the technical
right, it was
term.
A wet start that caused the USS yep. Forrestal. I thought it was 134. Now you're saying 135. Maybe it is one more number, than I thought.
It's around that figure, yeah.
Right. Now, when he was immediately removed from the ship, I mean, his former crew members, or crewmates, rather, shipmates, I guess you should say, his former shipmates mm-hmm. wanted him dead. I mean, they immediately wanted mm-hmm. to kill him because they knew what he'd done,
yep.
and he knew what he'd done,
yep.
too. And the call probably went in as quickly as possible for him to be evacuated from that ship. Now, when he spent 5 years in North Vietnam mm-hmm. as a prisoner, or Vietnam, mm-hmm. rather, anyway, when he was a Vietnamese prisoner, or a prisoner of the Vietnam War, in the Vietnam War, anyway, POW,
yeah.
when he was a POW, everyone knew mm-hmm. the reason he was being protected. He came out looking almost as though he'd just been on a vacation or something. I mean, he wasn't skinny and yeah. dead-looking like a lot of the prisoners were.
The only prisoner of war who put on weight in a prisoner of war camp. That's the answer.
Yeah, that's right. It's almost like they're giving him high-protein drinks, and everybody else was getting, I don't know, rat mm-hmm. droppings or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
But in yeah. any case, he came out looking better than he had. And I'm not old enough to remember when this, when the debacle happened, the ship action happened, mm-hmm. but reading about it now and then seeing the cover of People magazine, I think it was 2 weeks ago, it was sickening.
Mm-hmm.
It was sickening. I
mm-hmm.
went through the entire article in the entire magazine, and the entire magazine was, People magazine as it is, but I went through it and I was able on every single page to refute the statements made on every page. Every page. Even the title page, the content page, every ad, everything. It was all I could see. It was somehow I was able to see the slant and every single thing. I'm, not that I'm spectacularly gifted or whatever, but
yeah.
it
yeah.
just happened that I was at that time able to just race through there, and it made me almost physically ill.
Let me tell you this. No, continue on, but I'll just give you this. I have a piece here. It's too long to read out. 51 pages of a very well-written report on McCain. It's called the UNS Review, UNZ, the UNS Review, and the title is John McCain and POW Cover-Up, and it's 51 pages of evidence of everything about that, and it's very,
right.
very good. But it's I'll read out aspects of it maybe next week. But the UNS Review,
well,
the alternative media... So, yeah, go ahead, Ian.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm glad it seems to be very little delay, although you're in the, wherever you are in England someplace.
I'm in the UK. I'm the only broadcaster outside of America. I'm in Wales in the UK, but I used to live in the States. But I've been involved with RVM since 1999, been phoning into John Stappenmiller and doing things. But, I write and research on all the issues I'm reading out, but I quote, I don't plagiarize people's work, I quote who's writing the article, and they're largely
right.
from the accumulation. There's an accumulation, just to continue what you're saying, the two great resources are naturalnews.com by Mike Adams, which covers everything to do with health, pharma, and medicine.
Right.
And the other one is Activist Post, which is they take the key articles that good writers put together. So Activist Post is a fantastic site. If all the listeners out there stayed in touch with naturalnews.com and Activist Post, they would be very well informed of what's going
right,
on.
Right, right. There,
yep.
I don't know if the site's still available or not, or if it even exists anymore, but it used to be called, there was one called Above Top Secret, which was AboveTopSecret.com or .org or something, but it was a news aggregate. It was probably mm-hmm. 150 different alternative websites, and
yep,
at the time,
yep.
I mean, some of them were, a little bit too far left or whatever. They weren't necessarily as truthful as they should have been, But I mean, and you can get completely distracted by reading. You know, if you start with one.
Because you can.
Rubbish, like you have to discern your way around the internet. But as regards the truth and the alternative media, there is outstanding. And to keep up with every day, I have 23 sites I have to keep up with. And there's about 150 very good writers and resources. But the mainstream media is absolutely sick and disturbed beyond belief. It's, I never thought I'd see it go down to this level. It's, you know, like the Kavanaugh thing and all the rest of it. It's just shocking. We, as I say again and again and again, don't be to bore people, but we're living in under multi-layered criminal syndicates, hundreds and hundreds.
Right. Right. What I've been saying recently, and I think this is probably just as correct as what you're saying, not that, you know, not to change what you're saying or deflect from it, but I think we're living under an extremely high technology form of slavery. Our slaveholders are so far above us and so well insulated that we can't see it, we can't understand it, we can't comprehend that there's a possibility of even the remote. You know, one grain of sand in the entire world is the piece of information that we have about them, and that's all we can get.
Yeah.
We get more, obviously, if we keep searching and whatnot, but at the same time, when we're searching, as I say, we can get completely distracted from the facts, and it's like I said about, you know, the People magazine article, not to bring People back up, but anyway, that article never mentioned even one tiny, not even one bit about how he was one of the most horrible pilots the Navy had ever had. He crashed planes and jets and everything in Italy. And then, I mean, the USS Forrestal was the most glaring omission. It was just sickening. It made me want to throw up.
Anyway, Obama and Bush and Clinton sitting there, who are three high-level criminals as well. There's no editing needed to say that is absolutely a fact. But the other thing, when you have 95% of the media in America owned by five corporations, all pushing this left-wing liberal communist agenda, how can it's very hard for the average person to be informed? We're working on this all the time. I know we don't get paid, we don't seem to be paid, but there's a lot of specialist broadcasts that are very, very good, like Mike Rivero on RBN. Who is what really happens. He's just 3 hours a day, which is very hard for anyone to do. I just do 3 hours on a Saturday night, well, Sunday morning here. But he was his former NASA technician, who was an imaging expert. And then he worked in Hollywood after he left NASA. And because he exposed the truth about what happened, Vince Foster, who was supposedly suicided. Well, there's about 120 people around that who fell foul of the Clintons who were suicided. How about that? Now, I have an actuarian in my extended family. The chances that happen are in the trillions to one, right? That's where that
is. Right. Yeah, just by being associated with a certain family. But I want to let you go because I want to get off, let other people call in if they can.
Phone in again. You're a very intelligent man. And what have you done in life yourself, by the way? Where did you come to this vocation?
I'd say a lot of education from life itself, but I mean, I saw things.
What part of Wyoming? You don't have to say exactly. I lived in Colorado and I was in Fort Collins and I was talking to the people at the university there about San Francisco.
West Central.
Experiment going on with smart meters in Fort Collins and over the border in Larimer County. Are you aware of that?
Laramie County?
What do you call the county, the first county coming up from Fort Collins into Wyoming?
Laramie County. There's a city called Laramie too. Yeah,
and they're putting in 5G there, which is, you know, that technology which will give everybody brain cancer, right?
Right. I was actually just talking with some Verizon technicians about 2 weeks ago, who were putting in new cable. Actually, I think they're working for the cable company, but it doesn't really matter which one they work for because they're pretty much all they're so intertwined as to be indistinguishable from one another, but. They were basically telling me that they were putting in new they're putting a new cable so that the businesses that I happen to be at a function at one of the businesses, but the businesses that were there had no cable for some reason. And this was basically right inside the city limits, but they were saying they didn't have fast enough service or some kind of thing like that. And I said, are you putting in fiber optics? And they said, no. And I said, I was about to ask them about the 5G, and I thought, well, these guys are just, you know, they're tractor guys, tractor operators, and, you know laborers. Right. They're probably not really in tune with the...
Because of fiber, we have fiber optic, we do not need 5G or 4G.
Right.
Even here in rural Wales, the system on the cell tower is putting out 4G, which is quite dangerous if you're close to it. But no, there's right. a lot of information has been covered on this station about 4G and 5G. And a woman up there called Virginia Farber, she's from Fort Collins, just very briefly, her son died of brain cancer attending San Diego University because there was a cell tower in the yard of the university near the dormitories. And then she investigated what was going on. And the guy pushing the system up there, a guy called Sumner in Fort Collins, who was part of the regional utility there. But if you look up Virginia Farber and Sumner, there, it'll all come up on YouTube and on Google, okay? But it certainly
comes up
on...
You said Sumner, S-U-M-N-E-R, like Gordon Sumner?
Yeah, he's the guy head of the utility who's sending the police around to houses saying you must have a smart meter, right? And,
right.
Smart
well, there
meter
was
is off shocking radiation, you know?
There were. I actually have a smart meter. I think that's pretty much the norm in the city where I live. But unfortunately,
you,
I think I have a smart meter.
Get an EMF meter to test it. You can hire them for $30 a week, and you will be shocked what's coming off it. You got to get rid of it. It'll give you cancer.
Yeah. Well, I have LED lighting and fluorescent lighting, and I have. I live in a radioactive environment, you might say.
I see.
Not exactly that way, but the LED lights have the flicker rate of the LED lights is tuned to our brain. The 2.4 gigahertz of most Wi-Fi or Bluetooth is tuned to our brain frequencies. And then they're looking to go to, I think, what is the next one up from 2.4? I think it's 5.1 or something like that.
No. Well, the jump from 4 to 5G is hundreds of times, thousands of times higher. It's absolutely
right, but
stunning.
What I'm talking about Bluetooth, or I think it's Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is what I'm thinking of, but Wi-Fi is also one of the ones that's a culprit.
Well, four things you should not have in your house, especially if you've got children in the house, is you should not have a roaming phone, a wireless router, a microwave, or a baby in monitor alarm. They give off horrendous amounts of radio, dirty electricity. Shocking.
Well, I hate to say that I have a lot of those things in my house, but not the baby, but the rest of it, unfortunately. And yes, I understand, and I agree with what you're saying. I'll mention this one last thing. The city I lived in, I'm from California originally, the city I lived in California, the city just south of where I lived had the first incidence of a police officer dying of cancer from using a radar gun. He was the one who initiated the first lawsuit against the police department, and he said it was the radar gun that gave him cancer. And then, well, of course, I mean, we're talking about it. People either have a switch that's turned on or a switch that's turned off for cancer. That's what a friend of mine told me, who was a biochemist. He said people have a switch in their body. Sometimes it's turned on. Mm-hmm. They'll never, to resist or whichever. I mean, turn on, turn off, which determines whether or not you will get cancer. And I guess, you know, people who live to be 90-something years old smoking cigarettes or cigars every day. George Burns was 100 years old. He smoked cigars every day. But same time, you know, not everybody is as funny as or as lucky as, if you might say, as George Burns.
They have the technology to test your DNA and switch those kind of genes that are switched on the wrong way. Switch them off. Switch them out. They have the technology doing that. But there's no way with the farm industry, which is gargantuan criminality, and we covered that the last program before me, Al Whitney covered that intensively tonight,
right.
and I've done a fair bit on it, and I worked for multinationals.
Yeah, the pharmacomedia conglomerate, if you want to call it, because it's really what it is. I mean, to make sure that we believe everything that the alphabet soup, and, okay, I'll use alphabet soup, and I'm going to use it for the reason that it's basically what we have is as far as government agencies go. Someone said, don't say alphabet soup because it helped people with literacy. And I said, oh, what a joke. Come on. What kind of disinformation? You know, this guy called into a show.
Is now at the epicenter of the military-industrial complex as well. They're the lead organization over and above the oil companies and that. They're the lead organization, and they have horrendous... I read out their criminal convictions, took an hour on this program a year or two ago, but it's shocking. And they're allowed to continue on.
Sorry, you mentioned Ireland's program. Are you ever on RTE? Are you ever on the Irish
I grew up
Irish
in
radio?
I'm from Dublin originally. I'm from Ireland originally. But they've a reasonably good website, RTE.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to go. So coming up.
Call in again if you have anything, and we'll talk to you then. Okay, thanks a lot.
Have a good morning.
Okay, good morning to you, Ed. it's 10 to 5 here, a.m. Okay, I hear music there. Hello? Yeah, we're going to the last break of this hour. We should be back in a few minutes.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
back in for the last few minutes of this hour. That was Tim in Wyoming there making some very good points. Hope we talk to him again. But Paul Craig Roberts writing some very sad articles here. Is there enough of America left to be saved? And he has a second article. We won't have time to get to it on this hour. But the United States is a dead man walking. But he's saying, as many readers of this website have noted, the United States has lost its character and become a dysfunctional society. In place of a largely homogeneous population, once united in veneration of the Constitution, there exists today massively diversity, which identity politics has used to dissuade, disunite the population into separate interest groups. No clause or article of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights is safe. George W. Bush and Obama regimes destroyed two of the most important protections of civil liberty, habeas corpus and due process. Bush declared indefinite imprisonment on suspicion alone, without evidence or trial. Obama declared execution of U.S. citizens on accusation alone, without due process. The Justice Department wrote legal memos justifying torture, thus destroying the constitutional protection against self-incrimination. One of the authors of the memos is the new professor of law at UC Berkeley. The other is now a federal judge. Indications that respect for the Constitution and enforcement of the U.S. international laws against torture is fading in law schools and in the federal judiciary. And we'd add to that, by the way, in the medical fraternity, they're trying to get rid of the medical oath of the doctors take, right? But a third important protection of civil liberties, freedom of speech, which is necessary for the discovery of truth and justice and serve justice, is being destroyed. Apple, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, and university speech codes, legislation against the protesting Israeli atrocities against politicians and the prostitute media that have been turned into a propaganda organ on behalf of the vested interests, are all actively involved in protecting lies against truth. Glenn Greenwald reported that the single greatest threat to free speech in the West and in the US is a coordinated growing campaign to outlaw and punish those who advocate for or participate in activism to end the Israeli occupation of Palestine. That's the BBC, or number one on that in Britain. The Second Amendment, which was placed in the Constitution as a defense against oppression by government, is under attack by well-financed organizations in service to police state and the intention of disarming the population. Many attentive Americans are convinced that the mass shootings are staged or pretended in order to create public support for repealing the Second Amendment, to create a gun grab, obviously. So anyway, we're at the top of the hour break, and we should be back in a few minutes, and hopefully talk with you, Jenna, up in Washington, about carbon tax legislation. Hey.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic.